Thank you for joining this CanScribe Career College online webinar. Today we will be joined by Brett Cooper of iMedics Australia, and we'll be discussing the industry of medical transcription and answering all of your questions you may have.
I kind of have a question. I'll start the ball rolling. You kind of touched on how you get to be involved in the process, and it may be in the background that people don't see it, but can you kind of expand more, I guess, on the idea of you being involved in this really crucial system that from the start, you know, someone's going to the doctor and like you said, you know, a kid going in for heart surgery to you kind of getting a hold of that and kind of speak on that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Well, so basically how it works in Australia, I'm not sure about the laws in other countries, but we do all our letters are done for hospitals in Australia. And so the law will actually be for specialists, so it might be a cardiologist or whatever, they're actually required, after they've seen a patient that's been referred to them, they're actually required by law to send a letter to the back to the doctor who referred the patient to them or to the GP, just regarding that patient. So it's actually a law, a communications law there. So basically what happens, I'll just use as a referral to a cardiologist as an example. Someone might be, you know, having heart problems. They'll go and see their GP, their general practitioner, just the local doctor. And the local doctor will then say, look, I think, you know, you need to see a specialist. So that doctor will write a referral for that patient to go and see a specialist. The patient will go and then see the specialist, and the specialist might do tests or, you know, it just might be an initial consultancy. Then what the specialist does, that's where we come in. The specialist the specialists who use our service will dictate an audio file saying, you know, I saw this patient today. Thank you for your referral. And then outline all the details of, you know, what they've done. So, and then, that's where the typist comes in. So, a medical transcriptionist will then listen to that doctor's audio file, type it up and, address it to whoever that specialist, has, decided to send it to. It might be a copy to the GP, it might be a copy to another specialist, a copy to the family, things like that. So that's pretty much how the process works in Australia. Most of our clients are large hospitals and medium to large size clinics. Everything from cardiology to aged, just across all medical specialties, basically. Is that
that's a great answer. Yeah, that's a great answer. That's perfect. We have a question here, and I guess we can both answer this, but I think I'll hand it off to you, Brett. The question is, how long does it take to start making a steady income, and how much can you expect to make?
Sure. Look, that's really dependent on how you approach it as a typist. We always suggest that you should approach it as if it's a small business, and I think you'll probably find in the CanScribe course that they from the start they tell you to treat it as a small business. If you have to be disciplined. You're working from home, but if your Facebook notifications are going off every 30 minutes and you're checking your emails every hour, it'll take a toll on your work. So if you can, you really need to have a place where you can work at home where it's quiet and you can concentrate and there are no distractions. One of the benefits of working from home is, you know, every hour you can go for a 5-minute walk and refresh yourself like that. But it's back to Justin's question. I'll just explain a bit about how our sort of how our recruitment process works. So basically, you apply for a position and you do a test and there's an interview. And you start off as an intern, After you've been an intern for a required period, you become a junior typist. And after you've finished the junior training, you become a senior typist. Now, the senior typist is where you are permitted to send files directly to the client. When you're an intern or a junior, we have a QA, that's quality assurance. I'm not sure what term they use in CanScribe, but it's basically someone who reviews all your work until they're happy that you're typing letters to the quality that we require. So, look, we have team leaders here who manage our typists, and they were saying that I was just sort of getting the sort of just speaking to them about this yesterday. For a good typist, you can do your intern training in sort of anywhere from 5 to 7 days for a good typist. 1 to 2 weeks is probably more average. We give you up to 4 weeks to be able to do your intern training. If typists can't sort of get to the desired quality by 4 weeks, it probably just means that they're not cut out for typing. I think the CanScribe course is pretty thorough. So look, I'm not trying to make it sound overly difficult. It's not. If you pay attention in the course and do what's required, look, it's fairly easy to make it a good profession. We'd probably suggest intern and junior status in total probably 4 weeks or so. So, look, it might take you a month and a half to start getting onto a steady income stream. Some people do that well beforehand. Some people might do that in 3 weeks. But sort of, budget, 6 weeks, and then you'll sort of have plenty of time to make sure you can do your research and get all the knowledge that you need to. The one thing that you don't want to do is try to type quickly from the start, because what will happen is you'll find that you start making errors, and if you start making errors, the people who do the quality assurance will mark you down, obviously. So what you want to do as a typist is lay a base there and gain all the knowledge. Be slow, take it all in, make notes, and once you're confident that you've got the skills there, then you can concentrate on increasing your speed. As far as how much can you make as a typist, look, our top typists, and there are a few of them, make between $4,000 and $4,500 Aussie dollars per month. The average for typists is probably between $2,000 and $4,000. If you're comfortable with typing at a fast rate, you don't have to be overly quick. But if you're a good typist, then you can set aside a working day there when you're not getting interruptions, and you can concentrate on your work. Look, it's easy to do what those top typists are doing and making $4,000 plus per month. How's that, Justin? Is that
that's that a perfect answer? Yeah, I think that answers that question and more. That was perfect. We have a question here about the interns. Are they?
Yep. Are they cut out of it? Did you say are they paid?
Yeah, are they paid? Yes.
Yeah. So I'll tell you a bit about our rates, and you can write it down if you like. So our intern, junior, and senior rates are all different. So basically, as you start as an intern, the rate is that for that is 5 cents per line. Like I said, this if you're a good typist, you can progress to the next stage after 7 days, but sort of allow up to 2 weeks for the intern stage. Once you move on to junior stage, that rate is 9 cents per line. So again, the junior stage might be between 2 and 4 weeks. So you've got intern, 5 cents per line, junior, 9 cents per line. And then once you've graduated from junior, you go on to the senior stage, and that's where you earn 13 and a half cents per line.
I would like to highlight as well, Brett, that to everyone that AussieScribe actually pays very well in the industry. And 13 and a half cents per line is very, very good. They're a great company.
Yeah, it's it is a great company, and one of the things I like from the start with it, they're really, really nice people to work for. All the team leaders are really nice. You'll find all the other typists are nice. When you're typing, we have Skype groups for each team. So when you start out, you can Skype each other and say, "Hi guys, I'm new," and you'll find all the other typists are really helpful. The team leaders are really helpful. If you're sort of thinking about, you know, you're in overseas and we're in Australia, and will you, you know, when you're working, we'll be asleep. But there'll always be people who are working in your time zone, and there'll always be someone online who you can ask questions with. And it's like Justin just said there, they AussieScribe pay well, and they're just a really nice people. Everyone in the office is friendly. All the typists and team leaders are friendly. So it's a really, really great sort of environment to work in.
That's awesome. I would also like to highlight to everyone, just for the Australian-Canadian dollar conversion, it's 1-to-1. So basically, if you are making $2,000 to $4,000 plus dollars, Australian dollars per month, you're making the exact same in Canadian.
Okay.
We have a question here for you, Brett, and it kind of comes into the senior level. Is there a liability issue when you're sending the reports directly to the doctor or the family?
No. So all there are contracts with the hospitals, and basically at the end of the day, if a typist makes an error, there's no liability borne by the typist. So simply put, that's all borne by the by AussieScribe, and which is why you won't see any typists who are taking out liability insurance or anything like that, because there's absolutely no liability on their behalf.
Perfect. That's a great answer.
Which is a good relief, because it
definitely
could be.
We have another one, and this is such a common question, but I think, Brett, this is a great answer question for you, I guess. How flexible is your work time, and how flexible can you be? So if your child's in for a nap for 2 hours in the middle of the day, or they're sleeping at 2 in the morning, how does that work?
Absolutely. Look, I touched base on this with our team leaders again yesterday, just to sort of get an idea of what the what most of their typists are doing. But look, we have set minimums of 1,000 lines per week. For that, there's no minimum shift duration. If the baby's asleep for 2 hours, or you know, grandma's looking after the baby for a couple of hours a day, fantastic. Log in and do it then. I'd probably suggest that don't try and do things when there are other distractions. You know, don't try and fit in typing with when other things are going on. I'd say, you know, if the shift has to be shorter, an hour or two, when the baby's asleep, do it then. But they're very flexible with the work hours there. What we do is we ask you to pledge how much work you'll be doing for the month. So at the start of the month, you can say, look, I'll be typing 1500 lines this week. I'm only able to work on Monday, Wednesdays and Fridays and for 2 hours each day. But I'll, at the end of the day, it's how much work, if you say that you're going to produce 1500 lines, We really don't mind when you do it, as long as the work's completed, and just as long as you stick to your roster. If you say, look, I can only work on Wednesday and Thursday this week, that's fine. But you just have to make sure that you let the that you pledge that at the start, just so that we can sort of manage the typists.
Yeah, that's great. So what I'm hearing is there's a ton of flexibility. If you're saying you work on Monday, you can work at 2 in the morning on Monday. You can work at noon. doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
Basically getting the work done at the end of the day.
Exactly. What we do with for MTs who are overseas, like the ones in Canada here, when you're doing your intern, you are assigned a person called a mentor, who is basically you'll have a Skype chat with them going. So you'll be starting off the first day. You'll be Skyping them every 2 minutes, asking, "Oh, what's this? What's, you know, where's the button for this? I'm confused." So we try to fit you with a mentor who is in your time zone. If there may sometimes we can't do that, so just keep in mind that during the intern stage, you may need to sort of come online and work in our time zone just while you're learning. But once you've finished that intern stage and you're onto junior, you can obviously work in your own time zone, or, you know, whatever hours you like. It doesn't matter.
Perfect. Got another question here. How does vacation work, and is there paid time off?
Okay, there's vacation time is fine. We just ask that you sort of let the your team leader know in advance. Did you say, is there paid time off?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So our arrangement with our MTs is they're actually contractors, not employees. So which is obviously why you get the fantastic flexibility, and, you know, within the you can work basically whenever you want. So in that, there's no paid time off. It's basically you're a contractor, you do the work, you're invoiced for that work, and that's it there. So no paid time off, no superannuation and things like that. What do you call it, superannuation over there, Justin? Do you?
Yeah, we just call it paid time off. Or
okay.
Holiday pay, even. But yeah,
that
seems to be an industry standard.
MTs
are generally speaking, they are going to be contractors. You are, you know, self-employed. You're an entrepreneur at the end of the day. There are some opportunities in the industry to become full-time employees and things like that, and part-time employees.
I mean,
Brett started out as an MT, and now he's here today with us, which is great. But yeah, I would say 95% of the time you're going to be a contractor.
That's right. And our team leaders who manage all the MTs, they're employees, but they still work from home. So they've got a great setup. They're basically doing office hours at home, but they're employees, so they get their paid time off and things like that. So it's fantastic. And look, we're a growing company, so we're always going to have room for new team managers, and they're all always going to be roles. So if you're passionate about the industry and it's and you get started in it and you have ideas and things like that, absolutely, there's plenty of room for promotion and things like that.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome to hear as well. We have a question here, and this is probably one of my favorite questions. I'll hand it off to you, Brett. With all the advancements in technology, speech recognition being kind of the number one there, is it a real likelihood for there not to be a need for medical transcriptionists? Is the career, the job going to be obsolete?
That's a really good question. And that's when I first started, I sort of, that was one of my main things too. I saw speech recognition technology. If you look at all the media, everything in the media, and everything you see about advances in, you know, the Dragon software and speech recognition and artificial intelligence, you'd probably convince yourself that there's no point even thinking about becoming a medical transcriptionist. From my side, when I see all the new clients who are signing up, it's completely to the contrary. It's we have new hospitals coming on board. Basically, at the end of the day, it's if you're a doctor and you're doing it via speech recognition, you have to set up that speech, you know, the software. the speech recognition software has to learn your voice for it to become successful. So you have to train it more or less. And then once the doctor's dictated a letter using speech recognition, the doctor then has to basically edit the letter themselves. So with the way it is for with AussieScribe, the doctor dictates into their smartphone app, and our typist hear the voice file. All the doctor has to do is dictate their 4 minutes of dictation, and then basically the letter's typed, it's formatted well, you know, punctuation, things like that. It's laid out as a nice letter with the proper recipients on it. We hand it back to the doctor and say, look, here's your letter. They have a quick look at it and say, fantastic. So it's the amount of time that a doctor spends on a letter, it's a lot less when they're using straight dictation services such as this. And that's the reason why voice recognition hasn't, you know, sort of taken over the whole industry. It's, I mean, doctors' time is precious, and they don't have time to, you know, implement a speech recognition software and then, you know, lay out the letter themselves. It's just too time consuming. It's much simpler for them to just dictate straight away. And it's, look, I can't see that in the near future there being any sort of revolution in the speech recognition industry. We having said that, we do use what we call back-end speech recognition. So basically what it does is when it listens to a doctor's voice, and it generates sort of a large percentage of the letter before the typists get it. And once the typists get it, they make us corrections and add recipients and things like that. So we actually do use speech recognition in that sense. But as far as the doctor using speech recognition themselves, it is a growing industry, but it's not likely to revolutionize in the near future, certainly.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we're seeing throughout the industry. It's a tool, is really what it comes down to. Just like your foot pedal is a tool,
exactly,
to a medical transcriptionist. It used to just be keyboard shortcuts to pause, like we had in the course that I showed you. You had the hotkeys. Now you have an actual piece of equipment that will allow you to pause, play, rewind, and fast forward different audios. And that's, yep, what it comes down to with speech recognition. It's a tool for MTs to help them produce more, essentially. So. Yes.
Exactly.
Another question here for you. Does a typist or a medical transcriptionist get deducted pay for mistakes?
No, they don't. So, look, we find that we have a fairly thorough intern and junior recruitment process, most of the errors are picked up then. Look, you'll find if you're applying yourself at the work, you're not going to be making serious mistakes. Look, you will as an intern and a junior, but every file you do as an intern and junior will be reviewed by someone in QA, quality assurance. So you can get that all out of the way in those stages, but you'll find, I mean, you're probably thinking, you know, what if a doctor mumbles something and I get it wrong and I send it back and, you know, they find out, does my pay get deducted? It's not like that. Look, if we have very difficult doctors, you know, if they're mumbling or there's background noise, we actually contact the client and say, look, this doctor's, it's very difficult to understand them. Can we do something with the phones or something like that? Because at the end of the day, it's delaying their letters and it's making the quality of their letters, you know, it's just more work for them in the end. So, and they're always happy. So you'll find that on the whole, doctors are pretty easy to understand. You'll probably get some doctors who have very strong accents. But what we tend to do is we keep our typists sort of working on the same clients all the time. So after you've done three or four of a certain doctor's files, look, the first couple of files, you might sort of say, think, you know, what's he saying? But after the third or fourth, it becomes a lot easier. Sort of to answer Justin's original question, no, we don't deduct, you know, any of your pay or anything like that for errors. We if there's something that's inaudible, you know, the doctor was rustling paper when he mentioned a word, you can actually insert a, we call it a timestamp, and it's a blank, and basically it goes back to the doctor, and yeah, there's a comment there that says, "Doctor, look, we couldn't understand this word or this sentence. Can you please review it?" So you'll give it. You don't have to get every single word in the document correct.
That's great to hear as well. I mean, it happens sometimes. You know, a phone can be dropped or something like that. You're not going to be able to hear it perfectly. So that's great to hear too. That you can go back to the doctors and say, "Hey, you got to redo this," or you kind of got to figure this part of it out.
Exactly.
We've got a question here for you. Do you hire non-Canadian citizens? This person is from Barbados and would like to know if they qualify to work from home in Barbados.
Okay, look, unfortunately at the moment we're only hiring from Australia, Canada and the US. It's just because that their privacy laws are very similar to ours.
To
answer it simply, no, it's only from those three countries currently.
And that's fine. Some company, like for example, I'll speak on Canada. The audio files can't actually leave the virtual borders, we'll call it. So if you go to the doctor in Canada, a Canadian medical transcriptionist has to be doing the transcribing for you. They're not allowed to go to Australia even. They're not allowed to go to the United States. And this is very common. So, and a lot of it is to stop outsourcing to different countries where English isn't the first language. And that's just part of the security law. So that is common, but there are, companies out there for sure that will hire from various countries around the world as well.
Sure.
So
that's right. Yep.
Do we have any more questions from anyone? Just remember to type them into the chat box, and we'll be here to answer them. You said they're a great company to work for, and we've kind of touched on this. I love our relationship. So it's personal. Can you guys talk about a little, just expand more on that interaction you have with your employees? Kind of, you said you have those Skype groups.
Exactly. Yeah. Look, our typists are split up into groups, and we've got seven that we call them teams. So we've got seven teams at the moment. Each of those teams will have a Skype group where ask simple questions, like when you're starting out, from how to use the software. And you can also, and it's just an ongoing chat forum, and it's just where everyone sort of gives feedback about things, current issues for the day. You might be starting to type for a new client. You can say, "Oh, has anyone typed for this client? What do I do in when he says this?" and things like that. So a lot of people starting out are sort of thinking that they'll be stuck at home sort of with no one to, no one to ask questions about, and it'll be daunting, but it's actually far from it. There's plenty of people you can ask. There's email if you need it. There's Skype. So it's a really, really sort of family sort of feel, vibe or feeling about it. All of our team leaders, they're all ladies. They're all really nice ladies. They look after their typists. They're, if you have a family emergency or something like this, and you need time off and things like that, you say, "Look, sorry, I know I've said I can work this week or something, but can I make it up another time?" They're really flexible like that.
That's awesome here. I love hearing stuff like that, because I mean, we have that approach with our students and our graduates as well. We always want to know how they're doing, everything about them. If they ever need help with their course, for example. So that, for us is why this partnership with AussieScribe is so important, because they have that similar outlook just on kind of everything.
Yep.
And yeah, just I kind of wanted to hear for your perspective on that as well, which is just exactly perfect. We have a question here. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we've got a great online resource too about formatting for recipients, formatting letters, technical things like that. So there's a huge online resource too. So you can read through that, and then if you don't understand something or can't find it, you can ask the ask anyone from your team. You're welcome to email us in the office too. If it's sort of regarding day-to-day issues, things like that, it's always your team leader. But look, you can. We're happy to help MTs out, and if they've got issues, they're quite welcome to contact us in the office.
Awesome. Got another question here, and I'll answer this one, but you can expand on it for sure, Brett. So, how soon after graduation can you start working? Often you can start, and I can speak out of our practicum because we have a 100-hour practicum included in our course. So this is where you're working for a real company, and oftentimes our students are actually directly hired outside of that. And 85% are hired within 2 weeks of actually graduating. So that's our numbers. Do you have kind of thoughts on that?
I think it's all just, like you said, I think it's dependent on the typist, but most people are sort of keen to get started straight away. We have an online test that you need to do. But you can start work well within 1 week if you're keen to do so. Some people like to have a bit of a break after the course.
Yeah, that's totally fair. We have a question here for you. Do people work for AussieScribe for a long period of time, or do they often move on to other opportunities or other companies?
No, they tend to not move on to other companies. We've had most of our typists have been here for 3, 4, 5 years. So we don't have much of a turnover. We sort of find that people who work for us that they enjoy working for us. We're the largest transcription provider in Australia. And so we always have plenty of work, and like Justin said, we pay well, and it's a great atmosphere. So I've actually never heard of anyone who's left us to go to another company to type for. Some people will, for family reasons, they'll leave and things like that, or some people just other personal reasons. But generally, on the whole, people who have done a course and then thought it through about whether they want to do typing, once they start typing, they find it is actually better than they imagined. It's not as scary as it all sounds, and you don't get you don't get marked down or penalized financially if you make mistakes. There's it's a big responsibility, but everyone sort of takes great pride in their work. I think you'll find most people find out that it's actually a better than that you sort of imagine before you become an employee.
Yeah, that's great. We have another question here, and I can answer this one. So, do you only work for Australia, or what about a Canadian American company? So AussieScribe is one of the companies that has hired our grads. We have other Canadian companies, American companies that will hire you. So basically, kind of the ball sits in your court. You get to choose, do you want to work for a Canadian company, American company, an Australian company? So it really comes down to your best fit at the end of the day.
That's it.
Yeah. We've got another question here. So my typing speed isn't quite what it needs to be, and obviously it's going to improve. How much does your typing speed need to increase to be able to produce? So I'll start, and I think, Brett, you'll definitely have some words on this, but It is based on production. Now, is it possible to produce well at 40 words per minute? Sure, if your ear is really, really good on those harder dictations. Obviously, the faster you type, the more you can produce. But at the same time, it's not entirely correlated with how fast you can type. So throughout a course, on average, students will increase 20 net words per minute. So our minimum is 40. On average, you'll get to about 60, which helps you greatly improve your production. And we do provide you as well with Phrase Express, which is a word expander, which helps you increase that speed even more. But trying to put a sheer number on the net words per minute is difficult because it also comes down to your trained ear and how well you can actually hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I'm probably the slowest typer that's ever been employed with Aussie Scribe. I'd say I was, you know, when I was doing the course, I was actually really bad. But when I was, as soon as I started typing, it picked up a bit. But still, I'd probably say that everyone listening to this webinar today that it would be able to type quicker than me. It's just one of those things. If you find that your typing speed is a weakness, it doesn't matter because, like Justin said, if you can hear and understand it, that's the main thing. Once you've got all those sort of skills worked out and you can hear a doctor dictating and you can understand it, if you're typing slowly, it doesn't matter. All you need to do is then say, hey, I need to set aside 45 minutes a day and just do an online, typing training program or something like that, which are great. I mean, there's lots of free ones out there, and they basically, they tell you where to place your fingers and they give you, tips on how to increase your speed and things like that. But I'd say don't sort of let if you're not a super quick typist, don't sort of think that that's going to hinder you, because it's the speed is sort of only one factor at the core, but you need to understand what's being dictated and understand that. So and at the end of the day, you can always increase your speed. I mean, as long as you understand that you're not going to be super fast, you can put in your own time to work on that. And it's like anything, if you know any aspect of your typing, or you just need to be able to analyze that and say, hey, look, this is one of my weaknesses, I'm going to improve on that. So I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer. It kind of highlights all the facets of it. We have another question here, and it's a great question. If you're not as fortunate to work for a great company like AudioScribe, how are we connected to other companies? So you said it kind of in your question. AudioScribe is an unbelievable company to work for. They pay really well. They have that personal touch, so you're never going to feel alone. I'm not trying to put any other company down, but this partnership that we have with AudioScribe works so well because we're so similar on a lot of things. We both truly care. Some other companies that do hire our graduates are Emodal and Nuance, and some other companies as well. But AudioScribe and iMedX are definitely one of the big hiring companies. I'll say that for our graduates, they're always there. They're someone we like to push our graduates to because we know how they treat our students and our graduates. So, and I mean, it speaks to the company here. We have Brett on this webinar with us, which is great, and we thank you for having us, for having you here.
Thank you.
We've got a question. This one's for you, Brett. Do you hire graduates from other schools?
Apart from CanScribe, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have a local school. Actually, it's only about a kilometre from here, but so yeah, we hire from a few different schools. CanScribe's probably where we get the most of our typists from there. But look, it's a like I said earlier, it's a growing industry. We've got new clients coming on all the time, and we're short staffed. We can't find enough typists as it is at the moment, so we're trying to put on as many typists as we can. It obviously takes time from our side to train a new typist because we need to assign you a mentor. But at the end of the day, we've got new clients coming on all the time, and we're really short on typists at the moment.
And that comes down to it too as well. We can't supply AussieScribe with enough graduates, so I mean they can't rely simply on us. I wish we could, but it's just right now not a possibility with the amount of work there is out there. So we'll go with our last two questions here. So we have one, if you are making, that $4,000 a month plus, like you had said, you can earn with AussieScribe, how many hours a week or a month, give or take, do you think you have to be working? Obviously, it's hard to put an exact answer on that.
Yep. Those particular typists do that on a Monday to Friday office hours, eight or nine till five. I think it comes down to the quality of the time there. If you can, if you sort of can sit on the computer and during that time and treat it as if you're at a job in an office. And can be disciplined. Absolutely, that's Monday to Friday in office hours like that. If you sort of get distracted, you might like to only do sort of an hour and then have an hour break. But it's those guys who are earning those high amounts. They don't do 7 days a week or anything like that. They do their Monday to Friday normal 8 or 9 till 5 o'clock hours.
And that's the nice thing about this career is, I mean, I said it there, it's a career. You can work part-time or you can work full-time. If you want to work that 95 hours, but you want to be at home, it's a complete possibility, which is great. And you're earning great money as well.
That's it. It's fantastic when you can, wake up and, start work straight away. And then, if you've got kids or something like that, you've got, you don't have to travel back home. You can spend your time straight away with the kids, and then the flexibility is just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things about it as well. So for our last question, this one goes to you, Brett. Why are the majority of your hires from CanScribe?
I think CanScribe is I think it's just because of CanScribe's size. The school that we have here that we get some of the typists from aren't the size of CanScribe, so I think it's just based on sort of on those economic factors. The CanScribe courses are we basically, if you're a CanScribe graduate, we they're a quality typist, so it makes it a lot easier for us to bring them or get them through their intern and junior stages, because CanScribe have already they've gone through everything in such detail, so it's a sort of a win-win situation for us. It's just we can get more typists through, and then we can turn around to CanScribe again and say, send me more typists like those last ones you've sent through, because they're fantastic. They understand how it's all done, and so it's that's why we sort of concentrate on working with CanScribe a lot.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. I'll say that as well. And likewise, we love working with you, with AussieScribe, and working with you because the same reasons. Great company to work with. So I'd like to thank everyone for attending, but I'd also like to thank you, Brett, for sitting with us and answering some questions.
Pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, thank you. We'll speak to you later, and thank you again for everyone who attended.